Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to the final part of our discussion on the life of Job. In conclusion, we're going to talk about the most important lessons learned from the life of Job. First and foremost, we must glorify God at all times, no matter what the circumstances. That's the first lesson and the foremost lesson that we should take from the life of Job, is that we must glorify God at all times, no matter what the circumstances. The second important lesson that we learn from the life of Job is that we must understand the meaning of the phrase, God is good all of the time. The health and wealth false prophets of modern-day American Christianity misinterpret that saying that God is good all the time, and they say it this way: God will always, always ensure that good things happen to me. That's the wrong interpretation of the statement, God is good all the time. The correct interpretation of God is good all of the time is that God will sometimes, not always, but sometimes ensure that good things happen to me, and God will sometimes also allow bad things to happen to me. But this is the key: God will always, this is what God will always do, God will always make things turn out for my good. So not always will good things happen to me, some bad things will happen to me, but God will always make those bad things turn out for my good. Now I have to realize that God may do this after my death and resurrection to life, but God will always make the bad things that happen to me turn out for my good. Again, even if it's realized after my death and resurrection to life, but God will always do that. So in other words, God will allow bad things to happen to good people, but will never give us more than we can bear. God will always make the bad things work for my good, and we should memorize Romans 8, verse 28. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 28, which says, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." The third lesson we can take from Job is that we must understand that when bad things happen to us, because bad things can happen to us, and for most of us bad things will happen to us, even though we're serving God faithfully, even though we're not sinning to bring these bad things upon us, but we must understand that when bad things happen to us, it does not necessarily mean that God is mad at us. God, like He was doing with Job, was taking Job to the deeper end of the pool, not so that He could drown Job, but so that He could teach Job to be comfortable in all situations, knowing that God had his back no matter what, that God would deliver him from every trial eventually. So fourth, we should not judge someone as a bad person just because bad things are happening to them. Likewise, we should not judge someone as a good person just because good things are happening to them. The fifth lesson we should take from the life of Job is that we must learn not to judge by appearance. We should not judge by appearance, by what's on the surface, but we need to learn to judge righteous judgment. By appearance, it looked like Job brought suffering upon himself because of sins he had committed. That was far, far from the truth, even as Yahweh testified before Satan. But Job's three friends couldn't see that, and therefore they condemned Job as a sinner because they saw that all of these bad things were happening to him. So they surmised that the bad things were happening to him because he was a bad person. So they judged based on appearance. But God says to judge righteous judgment. And the right judgment is that God knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that Job wouldn't curse him to his face and die, but instead would say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord our God." Now, yes, Job did have a slight decline in his relationship with God. In fact, a pretty big decline, because he started out great, saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away." And he didn't charge God with foolishness, neither did he sin with his lips. But then in his defense of himself against his three friends' false accusations that he had sinned and therefore brought all of this calamity upon himself, he started to crack because he turned his attention against God and said, "God, I haven't sinned, so therefore you must be wrong. I've done no wrong, so you must be wrong for punishing me in this way that I don't deserve." So Job justified himself rather than God, but he never cursed God and died. And so God allowed Job's suffering to be prolonged. He didn't cause his suffering because of some sin, but he did prolong his suffering because God longed for Job to comprehend with all of his head and his heart what he had only said with his lips, i.e., "Blessed be the name of the Lord our God." So he prolonged the trial, allowed it to go on, so that Job could be thoroughly humbled. He could see how wrong he was in all of his conclusions and all the multiplicity of his words. He would come to repentance, and he would at the end again say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord our God." And that's exactly what happened. Now, while we're on this point of judging righteous judgment, let us read from the love chapter, because judging righteous judgment has to do with looking at a situation with eyes of love, assuming that love is what's occurring in the situation, especially where God is involved, because God is love. But it says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verses 1 through 13, this is 1 Corinthians 13 verses 1 through 13, "If I speak with the languages of men and of angels but don't have love, I have become like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, know all mysteries, and have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned, but don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy, doesn't brag. Love doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. It doesn't behave itself unseemly or inappropriately. It doesn't seek its own way. It's not easily provoked. It doesn't take account of evil. Love instead rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things." And here it's key to understand that when it says believes all things, it means that it, not naively, you just believe whatever is written in some news magazine. But no, you believe the best in all situations. It hopes all things. Love hopes for the best in all situations, and therefore love endures all things. Verse 8, "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, various languages, or great knowledge, they will be done away with. Now we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is complete has come, then that which is partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, felt as a child, and thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away childish things. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we'll see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, even as I am also fully known. The three things that are great and that remain are these: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these three things is love." And that's what God was trying to help Job to see, is seeing through the midst of all of these dark trials, seeing the love of God in it. And that is the point to which Job came. So that is the righteous judgment, is that God, out of love, was allowing Job to go through what he was going through, not because of some great sins that Job had committed, as Job's three friends had accused him of. No, that was far from the truth. It was simply because God wanted to enhance Job's relationship with him, to bring him to a higher and deeper level. Now, the sixth lesson we learn from the book of Job is that, like Elihu, we should be slow to speak and quick to hear. And that principle is found in James chapter 1 and verse 19. You know that Elihu allowed the three friends to speak and allowed Job to have his retorts. And after all of that, then he spoke up. So we should also be slow to speak and quick to hear. We should hear all of the evidence and weigh it and then speak, and speak the truth in love. And when we do speak, it should always be according to God's word. That's speaking the truth. And it should be in the spirit of godliness, and that's love. So speaking the truth in love. And then the seventh and final lesson that we can take from the book of Job is that God may be teaching several lessons to several different audiences at the same time. So let God do his thing. For instance, Satan learned a lesson, if Satan can learn, even though he would stubbornly reject it, is that he was wrong, because Satan accused God of being a hypocrite, because he said of God, God, the only reason why people serve you is because you bless them. You know this, so you continue to bless him. And he said, if you take away all that Job has, Job will curse you to your face. But that was not true. Job never cursed God and died. So that was one lesson that he was teaching to Satan the devil and all of the angelic hosts that was watching. Another lesson God was teaching, he was teaching Job's three friends that they should not judge by appearance, but that they should judge righteous judgment. And we've covered that. He also was teaching Job a lesson that God is good all of the time, meaning that bad things can happen to good people, but God will make it work out for the good if we allow the trial to run its full course. And this is what we see in James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4. This is James chapter 1 and verses 2 through 4, which is another excellent memorization scripture. Here it says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So the reason why we can say of Job, and why God says of Job, have you ever taken notice of the patience of Job? Job actually repented of his sin of justifying himself rather than God, and gave God the glory, justified God rather than himself, gave God his props, and he did all of this before God healed him. So Job did let patience have its perfect work, and he became perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So what is your judgment in this case? Is God guilty as charged? No, by no stretch of the imagination. But God is guilty. He's guilty of being good all of the time. Blessed be the characteristics of Yahweh our Elohim. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Thank you again for joining me in this series of programs on the book of Job. May God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.